So, Baruch Hashem, we are somewhere in Rashi, the seventh chapter, right? In Masechet Brachot, page Nun Aleph, Amud Bet. We learned the Mishnah yesterday. Now we need to see what Rashi's got to say. You were with us, Rav Reuven. You were here.
Yeah, I know.
What? The Mishnah?
No, the Rashi.
The Rashi? We learned all Rashi? No, we didn't have time. I think that you're talking about last Sugiyah, 2 days before. Over there we also learned the Gemara, and in the day after we learned the Rashi. But not now. Moshiach. Yes. Okay, so Bezat Hashem, we are in Rashi in page Nun Aleph Amud Bet. Rashi on the Mishnah, Rabbi Tzai. Elu Devarim Vechulei Baseuda. Those are the things that Bet Hillel and Bet Shammai were arguing on the issue of meal, setting a meal. Shenichleku Beilchot Seuda. That they were arguing on the halachot of the meal. Mevarech al hayom. They were talking about the order of the brachot. They had few subjects that they were arguing about. One of them was, the first one was, on what we're going to say bracha before, on the day or on the wine. And we talked about it, that actually today we're holding the shita of Bet Hillel, that Bet Hillel are saying bracha Borei Pri HaGefen first in Shabbat evening, and after it we're saying Mekadesh HaShabbat, the second bracha. And we said that Yom HaShishi VeHulu HaShamayim, that it is also mentioning the day, it's not the bracha that we're discussing about. So Mevarech Al HaYom, blessing on the day, Bekiddush Shabbatot VeYamim Tovim, the Kiddush of Shabbos and holy days, good days. V'achar kach mozgin et hakos, and after it, pouring wine into the glass. Yain haba lifnei hamazon, wine that comes before of the food. Kedamrinan b'perek heitzad mevarchin, like that we said already in the chapter how you should bless in page 43. Over there we talked about wine that comes before of the food. Hesev, it's written over there, if they were sitting to eat, leaning to eat, in that generation they were leaning, they were lying on their beds while they were eating. Apalpi, even though shenatal v'chulei, that the person made netilat yadayim v'chulei, הביאו להם יין וכולי, they brought wine to them during the Seuda. Like we said, actually now Rashi is bringing that sugya that we learned in page Mem Gimel וכולי. וכאמרי בית שמאי, and over there בית שמאי said, נוטלין לידיים, first of all to make נטילת ידיים, ואחר כך שותים את הכוס, and after it you drink the glass, drink the wine. ואוכלים סעודתם, and eating their meal, בהי נטילה. On that נטילה we're discussing. On that נטילה we're talking about. The argument between בית שמאי and בית הלל is in that situation. ובית הלל and בית הלל are saying, מוזגין את הכוס, first of all, put wine in the cup, ושותין אותו, and drinking it. ואחר כך נוטלין לידיים, and after it making נטילת ידיים. Like we said yesterday, that we are holding the Shita of Bet Hillel also on that, but we know that there is that custom of people that comes from Germany that they're making Netilat Yadayim before, and after it they're doing the Kiddush, drinking the wine and then eating the bread, even though that they made Netilat Yadayim before of the wine. This is their custom, this is their minhag. We generally, Am Yisrael, Lehalacha Lemaaseh, are doing like that we're doing, first of all doing the Kiddush, after it going making Netilat Yadayim. V'tama detarvayu mefarash bagmara, and the reason, the explanation of both of those shitot has been explained over there in the Gemara, we learned it already. Umekaneach yadav b'mapa, and he allows to wash his hands in the towel, מנטילת מים ראשונים, from first water. means the question is if the water are contaminating or not. The water of after netila, the water that left on the hands, the hands are still wet. Are those water contaminating the table by being on the table, on the towel, soaked in the towel or not? Maim rishonim, first water, the water of netilat yadayim, washing the hands before the suda. Umenicha al hashulchan, and putting it on the table. Bet Shammai are saying putting it on the table, and Bet Hillel are saying putting it on the pillow means on the side, not on your table. Umenicha al hashulchan, and putting it on the table. This is the shita of Bet Shammai. Umekaneach bayadav tamid, and you can clean your hands in it always. Mizohamata tavshid, from the filth of the food. All right, means you use it like a napkin. You're allowed to use it. So Bet Shammai are saying putting it on the side, and Bet Hillel are saying, Bet Shammai are saying putting it on the table, Bet Hillel are saying putting it aside. Bet Hillel omrim, and Bet Hillel are saying al hakar or al hakeset, on a pillow or on the mattress. Yanichena means on the side. Acharei, gonna put it after. Achrechen, after it. Vesham yekaneach bayadav tamid, and over there he gonna clean his hands always. Not on the table. Not to discuss with people, and not to do it on the table. You're cleaning your hands, and you're eating with clean hands on the table.
Is the water left on your hands kodesh or tamei?
No. If a person is doing netilat yadayim with wet hands, he's contaminating the bread.
It's
not allowed to say the bracha when the hands are still wet. It's not allowed to say bracha when the hands are still wet, and of course not to put them on the bread.
Which bracha?
Amotzi.
Not
the yadayim. It's the only bracha. Also, asher yatzar have to be bezrat Hashem after drying the hands.
Both are after you dry?
Everything except of netilat yadayim have to have dry hands when you bless it. You say the brachot. What?
Netilat yadayim is wet hands. Wet hands. Say the bracha and you dry
it. Yes, because like we learned about the mikveh in netilat yadayim, also we know that on all of the mitzvot you're saying the bracha and then you're making the mitzvah, like tzitzit. You're saying asher kidshanu mitzvotav tzion itatef batzitzit, and then you're wrapping yourself. Tfilin, asher kidshanu mitzvotav tzion itatef tfilin, and then you're tying the tfilin to your hands. So what's going on here in netilat yadayim? What's so different in netilat yadayim? That in netilat yadayim, first of all, you make the netilat yadayim, and after it, when the hands are wet already, means pure already, then you're saying the bracha, and now you're drying them. Why? What's the difference? The difference is that you could not say bracha with contaminated hands. This is why niguv, to dry them, it's part of the mitzvah. This is why you have to say the bracha before of drying them. Means if a person now made netilat yadayim, wet hands, and then he is drying the hands, and now he's gonna say bracha with dry hands, so he haven't, it's a bracha lebatala, and he haven't said bracha on the netilat yadayim. It's bracha lebatala. You have to make the bracha when the hands are still wet, because you have to keep that rule of mevarech v'over la'asiyatam, of blessing and going to make the mitzvah. But you cannot do that from the beginning, ideally, because the hands contaminated. This is why the niguv yadayim, to dry the hands, it's part of the netilah, and after that you purify them, you can say the bracha. One second, just one second. In the morning, there is that issue between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. There is an argument over there. How many times you should wash your hands in the netilat yadayim of the morning. The Sfaradim are saying 3 times on every hand, and the Ashkenazim are doing 4. 4 times. You are Ashkenazi now, or that you are holding your Sfaradi on that? On that you are Sfaradi. So, Baruch Hashem. So, the Ashkenazim are making 4 times on every hand, and the Ashkenazim are doing 3. Why? Everyone agreed on the Gemara, learning it from the Gemara, that the tuma, the contamination, is holding the hands on the hands until three. Everyone agree on that. That the third one removed it. Now the Sfaradim are saying this is why you have to dry your hands very, very good. That the water that are covering the hands, the wet hands, gonna disappear, gonna move away, gonna go away from the hands, because those water are contaminated. They're not contaminating the hands anymore, but they are contaminated. So you have to dry them. The Ashkenazim are saying, why I need to have that doubt? Why I need to suffer so much? I'm gonna make another netilah, and with the fourth one, I'm removing the water of the third one, and I'm gonna dry the hands also. But Nothing. I'm not. There is no risk in it. You understand?
Sfaradim
have to have a towel. Everyone have to have a towel. This is a question. If it's a lot, if it's soaked, it's a question. On a soaked towel, you have a problem too. If in a mikveh, for an example, in the morning, in Uman Rosh Hashanah, you're coming and you have a soaked towel in the morning, it's an issue. It's not good to dry your hands like that you can, but you know, it's not good to touch those contaminated water. If the towel is soaked, don't. Better to leave them like that. After 1-2 minutes, it's gonna dry.
We're only talking about brachas that have to do with water. Am I right?
We're talking now on
the Netilat
Yadayim. The bracha in the morning, in the morning, Asher Yatzar, you have to make Netilat Yadayim outside of the bathroom.
Yes.
If you don't have a choice, like in an aeroplane or something like that, or in a house that there is only one sink in the bathroom, so you have to do the bracha, the netila inside the toilet, and then you're going outside from the bathroom, I mean, and then you go outside and then you sing the bracha.
And sweat inside the bathroom?
What? Asher yatzar or al netila? Asher yatzar, dry hands. Al netila, wet hands. I'm blessing you all that we're all going to be here until 120. Bezrat Hashem, we're going to review that again and again. Yes, even Avrechim, even Mamash, Avrechim of few years, 10 years, 20 years, suddenly he sees that there is halakha, that he was all wrong. All wrong. For an example, I saw something that Rav El Yashiv wrote, a question and answer. Amazing, 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 amazing. Someone asked him, what's going to do a person that he used to pray with intention, very strong intentions, and now he feels sick, and if he will pray, he will pray with all of his intention, with all of his heart and powers. So Rav told, Rav El Yashiv answered, he should read from the Siddur without intention at all. So that person asked him again, that rabbi asked him, but if when he's holding the Siddur, this is it. It's a person that you cannot talk to him about it. If he will have the Siddur, he will pray with all of his power. So we should avoid him from praying, or that we should let him, or what should we do? So he said, what's the problem that someone gonna be motzi oto yedei chova in 18? What's the problem that someone else gonna be motzi him yedei chova in 18? So that person sits in front of him, asks him, telling him, but Arav, it's too hard for him to come to a minyan. So he told him, who said to go to a minyan? It's hard for him to come to a Bet Knesset. To be motzi, that person's assumption was that the only situation, and all of us going to think that, because none of us have the straight wisdom of the Torah Kedosha yet, maybe except of Yeshua, I don't know. Most of us. That the only way of being motzi someone else in the brachot is going to be in a minyan. So he told him, but it's hard for him to come to a minyan to Bet Knesset. He told him, no, I never talked about a minyan. I just meant that someone going to stand close to him and going to pray Shmona Esrei a little bit with voice, that he's going to be able to hear him and Ganebi motzi oto yedei chova in 18. Someone thought that it's possible, that it's an option. No one ever thinks about those things. There is no problem to be motzi someone else in Tfilat 18. Like in Birkat Hamazon, that it's d'oraita, you can be motzi someone else, or in Tfilat 18 you cannot. But we're not thinking right. We're not thinking until the end. We're not coming to those places at all. Our mind is not straight.
Someone told me recently that you can go to mikvah and do tefillah for somebody else.
Okay.
If he's sick, he's sick, he says, I can't go in to mikvah. Will you be a shaliach?
It's all good. You can make a shaliach.
No, you can think of him.
Very good. Very good. You can pray on him. You can do a lot of things for him.
If we do three times before we have lechem, it goes down three times. Except twice each year, three times. So it will change anything? Will it change? We still
what? No. Three times or four times. It's only in the first netilah of the morning. Not the netilah with the bracha. The first netilah, the one that's close to the bed, to the one that have a bucket or a bowl. All in the sink, but we're talking about the first netilah. Over there is that argument between three or four.
I see some people, they do three times before bread. One, two, three.
It's halakha.
It says the halakha twice. One, two.
I don't know. I'm doing three also.
It could be the same machlokes to wash one more time.
Rav Baruch is saying it can be the same machlokes, maybe to wash another time.
And then will that change?
In those places, what's the problem to take the strict one? It doesn't ruin nothing, so you're gonna make four. Adraba. Nicer. You're gonna make three. What happened? People have those doubts. If a person just went out from the toilet, from bathroom, and he needs to make netilat yadayim, and also he plans to sit and eat bread now, what should he do? He needs to make netilat yadayim leserugin, three like that, but leserugin, and also he needs to make like that for a bread. What should he do? And people are getting crazy. What's the problem? Is there an isur of bracha lebatala on that? If now for an example you're gonna make three and you don't do nothing, you're not saying no bracha, and after it, now like for the toilet, three like that, the sirugin, and then when you finish that, you're making two or three on one hand, or two or three on one hand, and then you're saying bracha of al netilat yadayim, and you haven't said asher yatzar yet. What's the problem? You haven't done nothing wrong. People are getting crazy. When there is halakha, Rabbeinu taught us, when you have halakha, someone to count on, you can count on him. There is a shita that you can wash your hands in water with no vessel at all, with no natla at all after toilet.
But you got the hands wet.
Say netilat yadayim. We're not saying asher yatzar yet. On the asher yatzar also you have halakha. There is halakha that if you know that you can remember for sure that you were in the toilet, for sure you're going to remember that. After you're doing hamotzi and eating enough bread, then you should say asher yatzar. But if you're afraid that maybe you're going to forget, so you can say it between. You, even after netilat yadayim, it's not a break. You can say asher yatzar and then to say hamotzi. It's not a break. But people getting crazy. They're making netilat yadayim on the toilet, touching their shoe to contaminate their hands, and then they're making another netilat yadayim and doing netilat. There is a side to say that after you touch your shoe, the netilat yadayim for the bread, not gonna purify your hands. Maybe you need less terugin after it. So what are you doing? It's all nonsense. Rabbeinu said, by being too strict, you fall into sadness. Falling to sadness. You can never be Yotzei Yedei Chova in Avodat Hashem. You can never be Yotzei Yedei Chova when you're serving Hashem Yitbarach. You can never be Yotzei Yedei Chova. Just you can do as much as you can. And if you see that it's pushing you to sadness, to confusions, to... No, he doesn't know what to do. And the wife, and she done, and the kids, what are they doing? They went out from the toilet, and now they're doing this and that. What's going to be? And it's ruined the seuda. The fact that you're learning halachot is ruining your seuda. It's ruining Shabbos. Your kids were not going to learn halachot because of that. This is the Chacham, he's got eyes in his head, he's looking on the future, he's planning his life. It's not my ability now to be the Gaon, the Rav Eliashiv. It's not my ability, I'm not over there yet. I'm going to learn from his books. I'm going to try to understand what he's talking about. So many things. There are questions over there that Talmid Chacham is asking him, and he's canceling his words, he's saying, what nonsense are those? Where you came with those questions at all? It means that people are, and those are geniuses that sits with him and asks him questions, the one that wrote the shootim, the questions and answers. Genius! Sitting with him, and what nonsense? Where you came to that, that assumption at all? Because people doesn't have a straight mind, and they have twisted mind, and they're learning things in a twisted way. This is why you have to have a rabbi. This is why you have to have someone that's going to straight your life, going to straight your head. Because if not, you can try, but you're not going to get anywhere. With no one that's going to lead you, going to bring you back to the right way, to the straight path, you're never going to get there. Sometimes it's insulting. Sometimes it hurts. It hurts that you're trying so hard and you're praying on something and suddenly you realize that you're all wrong. Even in your Avodat Hashem, it's insulting, it hurts inside. But this is, it hurts only because of arrogance. Because that you not really want to get closer to Hashem. You want to succeed. You want to be called a Talmid Chacham. You want to be a real Baal Tshuva. You want to... The truth is that even if you fail, the best thing that just happened to you is that you've been rebuked. That someone taught you that you were wrong. You have to grab that thing with both of your hands and to be so happy that 20 years I'm doing that mistake. Instead of crying on those 20 years that you lost, be thankful to Hashem that He woke you up. Even though the 20 years you're doing bad things not like by the book. And Hashem still loves you and Hashem is with you and He wakes you up on another point and another point and another point in Avodat Hashem. Look on the Prophet, look on the gain, on the reward, on the success, the real success that it's to get closer to Hashem. Now you learned it and you're going to be sad on 20 years that you lost. You haven't lost nothing. Here, Hashem loves you. Maybe the Hishtadlut, you were doing it with all of your heart, and that heart was so important to Hashem that now He gave you that. Well, Rashi. ובית הלל אומרים, and בית הלל are saying, על הקר או על הכסת, on the pillow or on the mattress, יניחנה אחרי כן, ושם יקנח בה, gonna put that towel after it, and he gonna clean his hands from the filth of the food, during the סעודה, on the side, not on the table. וטעם המפורש בגמרא, and the reason for that is explained it over there in the גמרא. מכבדין את הבית, cleaning the house, cleaning the house means if they were eating on a mattress. But cleaning the table if they were sitting on a chair. We learned that already. Makom she'achlu sham, a place that they were eating over there. Im hesevu, we're talking about before of mayim achronim, if you should clean the table, or after mayim achronim, you should clean the table. For sure we know that you should clean your table in Shabbos. The Shabbos table have to be clean after the Seuda and ready to the next Seuda from the end of the Seuda. You cannot leave the dishes and the food for the morning and in the morning. In Shabbos, you always, the table have to be looked like that is ready to sit and to eat and to make Seuda. So, they're asking, should we clean the table before of Mayim Achronim, before of Birkat HaMazon, or that we allow to say Birkat HaMazon, and after it, the husband going to go to sleep on the couch and the wife going to be a slave and clean it until the morning. What's the halacha? They're asking.
Should the husband be doing the dirty dishes?
The husband, you know, there is a story on the Rabbi Milubavitch on that. One time someone came to Rabbi Milubavitch and asked him if it's a real segula, if it's a real thing that for Shalom Bayit, that helps for Shalom Bayit in Motzei Shabbat to fold the talit. To fold the talit immediately in Motzei Shabbat. Is it a segula for Shalom Bayit? It's all for Shalom Bayit? So he told him, Rabbi Milubavitch, I never heard that, but I know another segula for Shalom Bayit in Motzei Shabbat. So he told him what? He said to wash the dishes. This is the best segula for Shalom Bayit. Straight mind. Just that you're going to know, Rabbi Elchanan, the Posek of the Yeshiva, said, and he explained it from all of the, a lot of poskim and a lot of opinions, that it's better to fold the talit in Shabbat.
Yeah.
He's over there in the next room, Rav Elchanan.
Why?
Because there is an issur to, I say, kfalim, folds. Folds. To create folds, to create straight lines on cloth in Shabbos. It's like, it's like regahetz. Iron. So, it's not allowed to do that. But also, one second, but also to cancel straight lines that you already have, folds that you already have, it's not allowed. And it's also an issue. So now the question is, after that the person opened the talit in Shabbos and wear it, and now what are you going to do with it? First of all, you have disgrace for the talit. If you're going to just drop it on the couch or something, it's a disgrace for the talit. Second thing is that you ruin the folds. Now the question is, if you're allowed to fold it, because you're not allowed to create new lines in a cloth, or that it's not new lines, because actually when you're folding it, you're folding it on the straight lines that already exist. So by that shita, Rav Elchanan explained it, and that this is the best way, and it's Ashkenazi also.
On the
old lines in Shabbos, he said that this is the best, that the Rav Poskim, for most of the Poskim. You can ask him. No problem.
No, I just wanted to get the shita clear.
Most of the people in the beginning of their tshuva, they're not folding, and they're all suffering. They all feel bad with throwing the talit without folding, and they're suffering, and they don't know why. And they're suffering. And they don't like to do that, and in Motzei Shabbat they don't know what to do, and if to kill it, what to do now in Motzei Shabbat.
Can you please repeat that again, that you should fold it on the place that you found it before Shabbat, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
On the same folds that you have in the talit.
That's what he says is the best. He's a posek.
He's a huge posek. That Rav Shalom said to him in the first meeting, the first time that he saw him, he told him, so many years I'm waiting for you that you're going to come. So many years I was waiting for you. He said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a gift that he never forgets what that he learns. If I'm going to bless you in that, I'm not sure it's going to work. So go to him, he's going to bless you in it. Hopefully it's going to drag me with you. Okay, so מכבדים את הבית, cleaning the house or the table, מקום שאכלו שם, place that they ate over there, אם הסבו, if they were lying, על גבי קרקע, on the floor, on the ground, מכבדים את הקרקע, so you should clean the floor, the ground, או אם הסבו על שולחן, but they were eating, if they were sitting, eating to the table, מכבדים את השולחן, you should clean the table. The word מכבדים, means like with a broom, but actually mechabdin is honoring. So you should see from that actually you're honoring the table, you're honoring Shabbos table, you're honoring the Shabbat itself by cleaning. Cleaning is honoring. It calls mechabdin honoring the house by cleaning it. מכבדים את השולחן משיעורי אוכלין, from leftovers of food שנתפזרו עליו, that been spread on it. ואחר כך נוטלין לידיים, and after it washing the hands, Maim Achronim, last water. This is the Shita of Bet Hillel. This is the Shita of Bet Shammai. Bet Shammai are saying, first of all, to clean the table and then to make Maim Achronim Chova. We're not holding the Shita of Bet Shammai, we're holding the Shita of Bet Hillel, that first of all you're allowed to make Maim Achronim Chova, and then go sleep on the couch and your wife going to clean the table before you. Okay? Ner umazon, candle and food. Mi she'en lo ela kos echad. If someone doesn't have two cups, just only one, b'motzei Shabbat, in motzei Shabbat, manicho ad le'achar amazon. He's leaving that cup of wine until after the food. He's got two obligations, two options to use that cup of wine. One is in birkat amazon, in benching. And one is that you have to make Abdallah on the cup. So what should he do if he's got only one cup of wine? And everyone can find himself in that situation, that the bottle is soon going to finish and he's got only one cup left in that bottle. So, מי שאין לו אלא כוס אחד. If someone has just only one cup, במוצאי שבת, מניחו עד לאחר המזון, he should leave it until after the food, וסודר עליו and fix on it, ner, umazon, ubsamim, v'avdala, v'chule. And make all of the order of havdala on that cup of wine after birkat amazon. This is the Mishnah. In the Gemara, we're going to explain all of that argument between Bet Hillel and Bet Shammai. Just this is their opinions. But in the Gemara, we're going to investigate more. We're going to see the reasons of all of it. En mevarchin ala ner ve'ala besamim shel akum ve'shel metim. It's not allowed to make bracha of Bore Meore HaEsh, of on candles, or on incense, of non-Jews, and also of candles and incense that have been dedicated for dead people. Yes?
Outside of Shabbos, instead of using a towel for washing, can you use an electric hand dryer?
Yes. Yes. No problem. No problem at all. As long as the hand's gonna be dry after it, you can even not do nothing and just wait that they're gonna dry. If it's the same, there's no problem. If, for an example, you made netilah and you don't have nowhere to dry, and it's also not good at all, and it's not allowed to dry them on the clothes. It's written that it's meshakeach talmudo. Person forgets what that he learns if he's drying his hands on his clothes. So you don't have nothing to dry your hands. It just waits.
So it's not a problem that there's not a mitzvah actively drying your hands.
You there is, but if you can.
If you can.
If you don't have a towel, if you don't have nothing, what do you want to do?
I saw someone put his hands in his pockets to dry his hands inside his pockets. So it's like it wasn't bowling, it was doing on his clothes. Put inside his pockets and
drive
inside his pockets. Is that possible?
I don't know. Need to ask him a kubal.
It's still your clothes.
Sounds that it's your clothes. What's the difference? On top of your clothes or inside your clothes?
He said it's not bolet.
What he said?
It's not bolet.
Okay. I don't know. Never heard of
it. Bolet or not bolet.
Never heard on that shita.
Instead of messing around with the person's
atifa, chashmal. Okay, Tam, not allowed to put your wet hands in the chashmal.
Right, precisely.
By Abdullah, some people put the wine in their pockets for parnasa, so maybe putting it in the water, it's against parnasa.
Water your bills.
You water down the cash.
Watering down the shepa.
So, tam de kulum for Ashba Gemara. The reason for all of those things is going to be explained in the Gemara. Sheye'otu, it's not allowed to say bracha on the candle until they're going to be able to enjoy from the light of the candle. If you see a candle from 200 meters, you cannot enjoy from it, so you cannot say bracha v'avdala on it. Sheye'u ne'ni mimeno, they have to have the ability to enjoy from it. It means that it's illuminating the room, that it's over here, close to us. עד כדי שיתעכל המזון, how much time a person have to, he can wait until he gonna say ברכת המזון, until he gonna finish digesting the food. מפרש שיעורה בגמרא, the Gemara gonna explain the time for that. We said להלכה למעשה, it's 72 minutes. מברך על היין, blessed on the wine. בגמרא מפרש פלוגתאיו, in the Gemara gonna explain that argument. Onin amen achar Israel ambarech. You're gonna answer amen after an Israeli detzet bracha. Afilu lo shama, even if you haven't heard el asof habracha, just only the end of the bracha. You hear someone saying shakol niya bidvaro, and you haven't heard baruch ata Hashem elokenu melech. You just now heard shakol niya bidvaro. Israeli, you're allowed to answer. Aval lo leachar kuti, but not after that certain kind of goy. That we have a doubt on him if he converted or not. If he converted, for sure, you know that that person is a ger, no doubt. But if it's that aspect, that kuti, that we had a doubt on them if their conversion was real or not, so only after that you heard him saying all of the bracha, baruch ata Hashem, that you saw that he's blessing Hashem Elokei Israel, then you're allowed to say amen on his bracha. But if not, we're afraid. Why? Rashi is saying, Shema berech lehar grizim. Maybe he is blessing to Mount Grizim. On the way from Tveria to Tzfat, there is a mountain that calls Har HaOsher, Mount of Happiness. And the Christians are using that place for their prayers and a lot of... So I went to Meron last week, and on the way I saw that someone made graffiti instead of Mount of Happiness of Osher, he wrote Har HaChoshech, Mount of Darkness, instead of Har HaOsher, Mount of Happiness, Mount of Darkness.
Very good.
So Largizim. So this is it. Thank you very much, Rabbi Isai. We made it, Rashi on the Mishnah.
Osher is happiness.
Choshech is darkness. Osher,
Osher,
Osher, Osher.